The iPhone's unveiling in 2007 wasn't just the launch of a new gadget, it was the synthesis of many separate technology breakthroughs into one seamless consumer experience. What made the iPhone revolutionary was not that it introduced every component for the first time, but that it integrated hardware, software, and interface design so well that the device felt inevitable in hindsight. Apple didn't merely build a phone, it built a new computing platform that fit in a pocket. When Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone, he famously framed it as three products in one: a mobile phone, a widescreen iPod, and an internet communications device. That packaging mattered because it signaled what the iPhone was really doing: collapsing multiple devices and multiple categories into a single unit that people could carry everywhere. This breakthrough required several technologies to mature at the same time. First was the multi-touch screen, which replaced stylus-driven interfaces with direct, finger-based control. With touch came intuitive gestures, tapping, swiping, pinching, and especially scrolling, that made interacting with content feel physical and effortless. Instead of navigating endless menus, users could move through information naturally, almost like pushing objects around on a table. Second was the operating system. A touchscreen without a responsive OS is just glass. The iPhone's system, eventually known as iOS, made the device feel smooth, stable, and intuitive, even under heavy use. It wasn't just about looking good, it was about hiding complexity so the user could focus on the experience rather than the mechanics. Third, the iPhone depended on advances in microprocessors and miniaturization. The device needed enough computing power to render websites, play music, manage touch input, run background processes, and maintain wireless connections, while staying cool and small. This required strong chips, efficient software, and a careful balance between performance and power use. Then there was the battery, one of the least glamorous but most critical pieces. Mobility only works if a device lasts long enough to be trusted. Battery technology may not have been headline-grabbing, but it made the iPhone practical as an always-with-you computer rather than a novelty. Yet the biggest accelerant came soon after: the rise of smartphone-optimized apps and the creation of the App Store. This was the moment smartphones stopped being defined mainly by what the manufacturer built in and started being defined by what the world could build on top of them. Apps turned the phone into a platform. Banking, navigation, photography, ride-sharing, music streaming, productivity, gaming, health tracking, education, and social connection all became accessible through small icons on a home screen. In effect, each app acted like a new tool added to a toolbox, and the toolbox could expand almost infinitely. That expansion was exponential because apps didn't just add features, they created entirely new industries. A phone could become a GPS, a wallet, a camera studio, a learning environment, a business office, and an entertainment center, all depending on what you installed. The smartphone became less like a product and more like a personal ecosystem. The economic and cultural results were massive. Smartphones went from being a niche tool for business users to a global necessity. Over time, unit sales climbed into the billions per year across the industry, and smartphone revenue became one of the largest technology markets in history. Apple itself turned the iPhone into a dominant business line, generating enormous annual revenue and reshaping how people communicate, work, and live. In the end, the iPhone's real invention wasn't a single component. It was the integration: touch, software, processing power, battery life, internet access, and a marketplace of apps that kept expanding what the device could do. Once those pieces fused together, the phone stopped being merely a phone. It became the most personal computer humanity has ever carried.